Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live the game. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. Hello. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. And, JP, I'm told by a number of people that I owe you thanks because you've promoted Storytime with John Feinstein on a number of occasions this week. So thank you very much.
Okay. I'm not even aware that I did that, but I have done some retweets
well,
for you in the past.
Well, at least two or three people said you did. So.
Well, hey, I'll take credit for it. It's always good to take credit for something that's positive. So
yes.
When you said JP, I got nervous. I got nervous that I did something wrong.
As far as I know, you probably did, but nothing that I know of.
Well, for those that aren't aware of it, can you kind of fill us in on the series? I think I saw online, were you expanding it to like three times a week?
Yes, we soft launched it a week ago, and this week was our first time going Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and that's what we'll be doing. Storytime with John Feinstein, you can Google it. You can go to my website, jfeinsteinbooks.com, and subscribe to it. It's $2 a month to get into it. There are higher levels if you want, but $2 a month is the basic fee, and it's me telling stories from my career. It started, as I know you know, JP, when the pandemic started, people asked me if I could, put out an anecdote every day on my website, not on my website, on my Twitter, and I did, and people seemed to love it. So my buddy Chris Ryan and I got together. He's the techno guy, and put this together. They're videos. They last 3 to 5 minutes, different story every day. Some I've never told, some I've told in part. And today's is about Lefty Driesell, one of my heroes, as you know, his decision to recruit Keith Gatlin over Tommy Amaker. But more entertainingly, I think it's a description of me going on a recruiting visit with Lefty on a Halloween night.
Nice.
So it's been a lot of fun so far, and the response has been very positive. I mean, even people who aren't aware of it are promoting it, apparently.
John, I saw on your Twitter, at Jay Feinstein Books, that you got to go to your first live sporting event on November 25th since March 12th. That was GW at Navy. Take us through being back in the arena and the sights and the sounds of actually checking out live sports for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, more than 8 months, you're right. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Now, it was a little bit eerie, as I'm sure it is for everybody. Walking in, 5,200-seat gym, there might have been 150 to 200 people in the place, including players, coaches, staff, media. There was a small handful of us from the print media. There was TV. All the games are on TV these days because that's the way you're reaching people since fans basically can't attend. But it was a good game. I mean, first game of the season, Navy, George Washington, surprisingly, they both played surprisingly well. Navy won the game 78-71, and they had 26 assists and 9 turnovers. Think about that. If you're 1.5 to 1 as a guard on turnovers, you're considered very good, and Navy was 3 to 1 for the game. So it was fun. It was fun. I mean, it was a little bit of a hassle to get on the yard at Navy because of the security, as you might expect. Especially with COVID-19. But once you got used to the fact that there was nobody in the building, it was a basketball game. And the good news was that 6 members of the Navy band were there to play the anthem and play music throughout. So that was nice. That made the atmosphere feel more like a normal game. But I was very glad to be back.
So, John, we've talked to you about it many times. You wrote a book called Quarterback, Inside the Most Important Position in the National Football League. You got to know Alex Smith. Tell us what you've seen here the last couple weeks from Alex Smith on the field. Everybody loves the story. The comeback is amazing. But he's actually playing some pretty decent football.
Yeah, he has. I mean, I remember, you know, we had a conversation about this, JP, when he came into that Rams game in the rain, and a lot of people were criticizing him for not throwing the ball downfield. They couldn't throw the ball downfield because they had no protection for any quarterback. And now that he's gotten to play and gotten some protection from the line and they're getting something out of the running game, he looks a lot like the guy who I watched when he was playing in Kansas City the year I did quarterback. He for a guy with a leg that's had 17 surgeries done on it, he's still remarkably mobile. I mean, he was always a very mobile quarterback. I remember one of the games in 2017, he had a 70-yard run against the Giants and dodged and darted around a couple of guys as he went. He was very disappointed he didn't get in the end zone. But, you know, he's part of the reason why everybody in Washington now thinks – I saw a great line on Twitter today that 4-7 is the new 7-4.
Yep.
It's and crazy
now
how
we're
going to find out,
John,
you know, the next 3 weeks if this team has really improved that much or if they've just been playing bad teams the last 6 weeks.
The last 6 weeks they played teams with a combined record of 12-29-1 and went 3-3. But I'm just thrilled to see Alex Smith playing the way he's been playing. I mean, you can't not be thrilled unless you're a Cowboys fan yesterday, for example, then you're not as thrilled.
Well, we said this. J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington, who's an insider for the Washington football team, had a stat going back all the way to 2016 for Alex Smith. And it was a little odd, but in games where Alex Smith completes over 65% of his passes, which he does often, and throws for less than 200 yards, they were 9-0, and yesterday made it 10-0. So there's kind of a formula. Alex Smith isn't going to throw for 350 yards very often and throw downfield that much, but he finds a way to kind of move the offense, and he limits turnovers generally, which puts them in position to win games.
Well, usually when a quarterback throws for 350 yards, it means there's no running game. Mm-hmm. Not always, but usually. It means, you know, they can't run the ball, so he throws, whoever the quarterback is, throws 40, 45 times. But when you have a running game, the way Washington did yesterday, and you can pick your times to throw the ball and not have to face a lot of third and 12s and things like that, then you're probably going to be effective. I mean, the ideal game for an offense is 200 to 250 yards rushing, 200 to 250 yards throwing. I mean, that's close to 500 yards. You don't get that very often. But I'm not that surprised by that stat. Alex has always been a high percentage completion guy throughout most of his career. You know, when his career is over, whenever it is, and people look back at it and kind of take in the whole picture, the time with the 49ers, the time with the Chiefs, and now, I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's going to have some pretty impressive career numbers.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why, I would guess one of the big reasons why Coach Rivera wants him back. Reports are that he wants him back in 2021. Of course he does. He's run the offense most effectively, and once they draft or, you know, bring in another quarterback to succeed Alex Smith, he's going to be a great mentor like he was to Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and like he was when Haskins first got here in D.C. So, of course, Rivera wants him around.
Yeah, I mean, and that's who Alex is. Yeah. And if you talk to Patrick Mahomes about his year as Alex's understudy, he'll tell you part of the reason he was so successful out of the gate when he became the starter was the things that Alex taught him. Alex invited Patrick to dinner at his house once a week. I mean, they spent a lot of time. And remember, he was doing this knowing that this guy was going to be his replacement, knowing this guy was going to push him out of Kansas City at the end of that season. That, again, that's who the guy is. And he would willingly do the same for Dwayne Haskins. And it looks like, you know, Rivera's given up on Haskins. And the only problem with them playing better now, of course, is it's going to hurt their draft position if they want to go after a quarterback come April. But you're right. If I am a coach, I want Alex Smith around, whether he's the starting quarterback, the second string quarterback, the quarterback's coach, whatever. I want him around because he's that kind of person. There are certain people, forget playing ability. There's certain people you want in your locker room. And look, I'm biased because, as you guys mentioned, I worked very closely with Alex when I was doing the quarterback book. He was one of five guys. But I think you don't have to be biased to look at Alex Smith and say, yeah, that's a guy I want with my team.
Talking to best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. Live the game. Go to golfdomgolf.com. John, let's switch gears to the Washington Wizards situation. Just kind of want to get your take, what you make of everything that kind of transpired there. Before the draft, we heard John Wall might be traded to Houston for Russell Westbrook. Then you had the draft, and it kind of died down for a day or two. And then later in the week, you heard John Wall wanted out of there. Did Tommy Shepard, the GM of the Wizards, botch this? What's kind of your take on what transpired?
Well, I don't think we know yet. Now, you guys know I have never been a John Wall guy. Mm-hmm. I underrated him coming out of college. He was a better player than I thought he was because he couldn't shoot. He was only at Kentucky for 1 year, but he couldn't shoot. He became a better shooter. But I think Bradley Beal at this point, especially given age and health, is a better player than John Wall. If they could make a trade, John Wall for Russell Westbrook straight up, I'd do that in a heartbeat. Russell Westbrook's a better player. I mean, there's not any doubt about that, especially since we don't know, you know, for all of Tommy's talk about, oh, John looks fantastic in his workouts. Well, workouts are a lot different than playing games. And we really won't know where John Wall is until he starts playing games. But I think you remember, you guys, I think, are old enough to remember the Abe Pollin years when they were always mediocre.
Yeah.
And they were always drafting 15th or 12th or whatever. And they couldn't get any better. They were like a 500-ish team. Some years they'd sneak in the playoffs and win a round or not win a round. Other years they didn't make the playoffs. And that's where this team is right now. And so the question is, are you willing, is Ted Leonsis willing, because he has the ultimate final say, to go back and be a bad team for a while in order to get a couple high draft picks? Now, they did have high draft picks there for a while. Wall was number one. Beal was number three. Otto Porter was number four. And they just didn't do enough with them. Notice that all three of those guys they drafted were guards. I know that it's a guards game now, but you still need you need size. So I think Tommy's made some good moves with the guys he's brought back in. We'll see if they overpaid for Davis. I'm blocking on it, Burton's. $80 million for 5 years sounds like a lot of money for a guy like that, but we'll see.
That's modern-day NBA, though.
Jerry Brewer wrote a column last week, which he said, you gotta break up this team. You got to get rid of Beal. You got to get rid of Wall. That's radical, but maybe it's what you got to do.
Yeah, looks like they're going to give it one more run. But, you know, Davis Bertans can knock down threes, and that's worth $90 million or whatever it is.
Yeah, the other thing is, and this is not unimportant, I don't think Beal and Wall like each other. I think Wall is jealous of the star that Beal has become, and I think Beal isn't thrilled with Wall either. So that's not a great thing either in terms of chemistry,
John,
and off the court.
Just a very quick college hoops nugget. I did not know that Queens University of Charlotte existed, but they apparently pushed George Mason to the brink in a one-point win for Mason. I didn't even know that school was around.
Yeah, they're a D2 power. I mean, they're very good at the D2 level, and you know, I was surprised by that score too. There were a bunch of surprising scores the first couple of days, and I don't know if you guys watched any of that Gonzaga-Kansas game, but Gonzaga is really good. Right now, in 2 days, I've seen three teams that I think are really good. Gonzaga is really good, Virginia is really good, and Villanova is really good.
Well, John, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
I will look forward to it. And, JP, any promotion you give me, you know, I always appreciate it, whether you know it or not.
There you go. I mean, I have retweeted your stuff before, so maybe I just don't remember it. But, hey, maybe he was looking at something I did maybe a week before.
Entirely possible. Who the heck knows? But I appreciate all the help you guys give me regardless. So
of course.
Thanks
happy
a lot,
to.
And I will talk to you next week. We're going to get our Christmas tree today.
Ah, good. Very good. Very good.
I think I may put up our Christmas tree today. Now, we've got a fakie. We did the really feelies for a while, but yes, I think last year we went back to the fake.
I'm very pro fake Christmas tree. Yes. Very pro that stance.
All right, coming up next, we get back to the Washington football team. Big win for them. They get to 4-7, which actually puts them atop the NFC East. We'll talk to our insider, Chris Russell, next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Victory Friday, driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives. It's JP and Cakes hanging out, and join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our Washington football team insider for The Fan, Chris Russell. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, guys. Happy Victory Friday post-Thanksgiving. How are we?
Same to you, Rooster.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. You know, I heard you say on the radio, I doubt any of the junkies are listening to me right now, but I happen to hear you. And our boy Vic from Akakeek leading off as I was driving home from my mom's.
I got busted.
Though I didn't listen to your entire post-game, I have to say it had to have been a celebration throughout, right?
Yeah, no, it was good. I was only being self-deprecating by saying I wouldn't be listening to me right now if I was me. So, and I got busted because old JP was listening and I saw the tweets, and that was cool. So I appreciate that as always. But yeah, no, the calls were, you know, pretty good. I mean, we were only on for about an hour and 15 minutes, only until 9 o'clock last night. I'll have 5 hours to chat with the fans this afternoon from 2 to 7. And listen, I mean, it could be a lot worse, obviously. They could be coming off of 2 losses or a win or a loss. That game was in trouble before they went to that fake punt. It was 20-16. I have no idea what they were doing. Guys, I got a text from a current NFL coach almost immediately, and he said that call in and of itself is almost a fireable offense. I mean, I was like, you know, to go for it on your own 24-yard line, a fake punt, one thing. That guy's got a history. John Fossil, Jim's son, that's one thing. To have 4th and 10 on your own 24-yard line. Now, nobody's expecting it. Some reason the Washington football team was expecting it. They were dialed in, Khalik Hudson and others, and they made the play, and they blew it up, and obviously the game changed immediately from that point. But up until then, it was a 4-point game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work out with Ron Rivera. You know, it's very early to say. But at least we don't have that bozo Mike McCarthy, because yeah. I don't care what a special teams coordinator says to me. If I'm dealing with the game situation, just looking at the score and seeing where we are on the field, I don't care if he says, I'm 100% confident this trick play is going to work. I'm going to say, get out of here. We're punting. We're going to make Alex Smith and the Washington offense march all the way down the field to score. We're not giving him a short field. That was a gift.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it absolutely was. Again, it's one thing if you line up for that, right? It's still nuts if it's 4th and 1 from your own 24, right? Because you're at your own 24, and if it goes wrong, you're basically, like you said, giving a gift. And that's exactly what Washington took, because the very next play, Antonio Gibson goes trotting in around left end for, 23, 24-yard touchdown run and waves bye-bye. And that was the other part of the key, too, is that on both 4th down in your own territory decisions that McCarthy made, and I don't know if he's given full permission to John Fossil, the special teams coordinator. I mean, obviously, he's responsible for the first one in the first half that didn't go their way, and maybe they should have gotten the defensive pass interference. But on both of them, within, a couple of plays? I mean, it took a couple of plays for the first one and one play for the second one. Washington didn't settle for a field goal. Washington didn't go 3-and-out, which is their typical motif. They put the foot on the throat, and they scored touchdowns off of both of those decisions, both of those mistakes by the Cowboys, and that's why they won. I mean, obviously, the defense is a big part of it, and, you know, the other stuff from Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. But then the one turnover for Washington, right? Terry McLaurin saves 4 points ultimately combined with the defense. And as it turns out, that's a huge momentum swing. So, you know, that's the way football goes. You make mistakes, and then if a team can counterpunch, you know, and make a second mistake out of it, then you're dead.
Rooster, the Gibson breakout continues, scores 3 touchdowns in just a convincing victory. 20 carries, 115 yards, 7 targets in the passing game. He has become the alpha male in the backfield here. 139 attempts to just 50 for McKissick, who's the next closest. And, oh, by the way, he's only second to Dalvin Cook in rushing touchdowns in the league.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Cakes. I mean, 11 rushing touchdowns in 11 games. And, oh, by the way, for a guy who had 33 college rushing attempts, I mean, it's obviously got way more than that. He's got no receiving touchdowns. I mean, he was a receiver in college. He's got no receiving touchdown and 11 rushing. I mean, you know, that's so 2020, right? In terms of that, hey, here's another thing for you. I didn't realize this. The Washington football team public relations department came up with this through, I think, Elias or Steph. He's the first rookie to score 3 touchdowns on Thanksgiving Day since Randy Moss back in Dallas however many years ago. So, I mean, if that's the kind of path he's on, right, to that kind of success, meaning a Hall of Fame success, and I know, you know, it's way too early for that, then we're in good hands. And, you know, all he's got to do is stay healthy. The kid runs with a, you know, I would say a controlled, reckless abandon is what I would say. He's still learning. He's still evolving. He's still learning how to run and learning his fits and his reads off of helmets and shoulders and running with forward lean and not trying to run sideways too much instead of getting north and up into a hole. So, I mean, you know, again, I don't want to go too crazy here because injuries can change a lot of things. But the old, if he can stay healthy, it very much appears that Antonio Gibson was a first-round running back that the Washington football team got in the third round.
Talking to our Washington football team insider, Chris Russell from The Fan, let's talk about the other side, the defensive side. You know, I've kind of wondered as I've looked at some of these stats week in and week out, are they actually good? What's the deal? Because at one point they had the number one pass defense in the league, and we see them give up big plays, and they did yesterday. But you know what? This defensive line is as advertised. They're now number 2 in the NFL in sacks. We talked about Tim Settle. You know, the depth is getting after it. And then, of course, Chase Young with the sack, Montez Sweat with the huge play. Talk about the defensive line, Rooster.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously took advantage of a beat-up offensive line. I mean, losing your left tackle and your right tackle, who's your Pro Bowl right guard, in Zach Martin very early in this game, obviously helps. Let's start there. And quite honestly, if we're being honest, a lot of their success has come against really beat-up offensive lines. Dallas twice, Philadelphia, even Cincinnati last week. But overall, big picture, we know this, even without Ioannidis, if they stop the run and make a team one-dimensional, which is exactly what they did yesterday, which is why I'm always screaming about run, stopping the run, not giving up on the run. When you make a team one-dimensional, then you can pin your ears back and tee off. And you look at Young blowing up Brandon Knight. I know he's the third-string left tackle. I got it. I understand that. But, I mean, that was impressive. You look at the blitz alignment. I was watching the tape on this last night, guys. If you get a chance to watch from the end zone, on the Settle sack, which is a third down, I want to say it's third down and 3, maybe. You know, they have 3 guys lined up on the very left side of the front, right, kind of in a cluster, and then 2 guys, Young and somebody else, and Settle, I think, on the right side, but kind of spread apart. So it's this really weird kind of bare front look that Jack Del Rio designs. And they've got James Smith Williams, a rookie defensive end, dropping out into zone pass coverage, and he's running with a receiver on a shallow cross over the middle and blanketing him, and they immediately get to Dalton and blow up a drive and, again, reverse momentum, and they get the sack, and Settle's now got 5. And these are the creative things that you can do, even without an Ioannidis, when you have, A, that kind of talent, one, but also that kind of depth. Think about it. I mean, this team's lost Ioannidis and a guy that I thought was going to be a key contributor this year, Caleb Brantley, who opted out, and they're playing with 2 rookies, Smith Williams and obviously Chase Young, and I know he's the number 2 pick, but, you know, they've got the talent, but they've also got the depth and the versatility that they did not have in years past. So it all comes together. It all sets up everything else. The secondary is kind of a mishmash. We know that. The safeties are very questionable. Although Reeves played really well yesterday. Darby was up and down. I mean, obviously bad early, good late. I would say this. If that secondary is only really good because, JP, to your point, the defensive line is really good. If they're not getting home, then they're getting exposed.
Right. Some of it has to do with the opponents, right? So you have look at the context. But I just am almost flabbergasted. I just looked. They have both a top 10 defense in yardage, where they're actually number five, and in points now.
Yeah. And I would say this. I think your original point about the secondary or the defensive backs not being, you know, great in coverage and big plays, that's been a problem all year. Ronald Darby, as good as he's been, and I know he was shaky yesterday, and he also made some plays yesterday, right? Maybe got away with one on the fourth and one and all that. He's allowed 4 50-plus yard receptions. I remember being on with you guys in Cleveland. After week two in Arizona, and I was saying, you know, he's been beaten for 2 50-plus yard passes by number three receivers so far, and he recovered from that, but now he's given up 3 50-plus yard receptions, and a quarterback's going to get beat, but if that's one of your best, then you've got issues against a Russell Wilson coming in to FedEx Field in a couple of weeks, against Ben Roethlisberger next week. Now, who knows what's going on with Pittsburgh, if they're going to even play this Sunday, if they're going to play Monday, if they're going to play, I have no idea, but the bottom line is, they're going to be tested if they can't get home and get home consistently and get home without blitzing. They don't like to blitz a lot, and for good reason. They shouldn't have to, theoretically, even without Ioannidis. So getting home by rushing 4, and if you have to send pressure, sending a 5th and not a 6th, is ultimately the key for everybody. It's going to hold up those it's going to protect those linebackers in pass coverage. It's going to protect the safety mishmash that they have with Reeves and Apke at free safety, and obviously a rookie in Cam Curl at strong. You know, so everything is built off of that defensive line. And trust me, Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio know that.
Rooster Washington completely neutralized Zeke yesterday. He was a non-factor, 10 carries for 32 yards. Do you think the Cowboys are happy they handed him a contract with $50 million in guarantees just last September? He has one 100-yard rushing game this season. One.
Yeah. So I'll say this, right? And he had the fumble yesterday, too.
He's got a fumbling issue,
I don't think he had fumbled since that Monday night game against Arizona right before the first matchup, right? So I'll say this. When I was looking at a situation a year and a half ago or whatever it was, and Dallas had, you know, Amari Cooper coming up on contract, which he just re-signed, Dak Prescott coming up on contract, and we know what the situation there is, and Ezekiel Elliott coming up for contract, I said, look, in today's NFL, as much as I love to run the football and as much as I think Ezekiel Elliott's good, there's no chance they're going to give Ezekiel Elliott the long-term contract, right? They're going to go Prescott 1, Amari Cooper 2, Ezekiel Elliott 3, and instead, like the dummy I am, or maybe the dummy Jerry Jones is, they gave Ezekiel Elliott the money first.
You know what? It's Jerry Jones, not you, Rooster. Didn't give him any money out of your pocket.
I know. But usually I would be, you know, like, pay Ezekiel. And I was like, you got to pay the quarterback and you got to pay the wide receiver. And I'm not even that big of an Amari Cooper fan. I love Dak Prescott. I'm not even that big of an Amari. I think he tends to, you know, he was great yesterday. I think he tends to disappear. But you got to pay those guys over Ezekiel Elliott. And this was before the fumbling problem. That was his second lowest in his NFL career, his second lowest rushing yardage output. And Washington did what they had to do. Again, you know, I preach this every week. For a team that's, you know, been gashed on the ground, you stop the run, you make an offensive line and an offense one-dimensional.
Sounds like we
lose the Rooster.
Rooster there. It's okay. He's going to be on from 2 to 7 today.
Yeah, he's going to be talking plenty on the
probably
fan.
Rest,
yes.
Relax a
rest
little
those
bit,
pipes, baby.
And get ready
yes.
for 5 hours tonight from 2 till 7. Thanks again to Chris Russell, our Washington football team insider. Still to come on the show, we have Jason Lockenfora from CBS Sports and Radio.com. We'll go around the NFL with him at 9 o'clock and Stuckey from the Action Network at 9:40 to give us his winners right here on a Victory Friday on the Fan. Welcome back, Junkies, on a Victory Friday, driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives. We'll be joined by Jason Lockenfora, Radio.com, NFL insider at the top of the hour. Cakes, I know you wanted to rip into Matt Patricia.
Well, you mentioned it's a victory Friday. For Cakes, it's a victory lap Friday. And it pains me that the Matt and Matt show are not behind the glass today, because all they could talk about toward the end of Wednesday's show was how great Matt Patricia was and how I just love to pick on Matt Patricia. I just wish they were here.
I don't know if either of them said that Matt Patricia was great.
I know. I'm kind of recreating history. I'm kind of doing a bit, but they had a lot of love for Matt Patricia, and wow, did he go out and lay a big giant egg on Thanksgiving. The Lions dropped to 4-7. They allow 41 points. They got scorched on national TV, just like I predicted. And Matt Patricia is a fumbling boob who's going to be out of a job at the end of the year. Thank you. You're welcome. I told everybody so.
I mean, almost all of the guys who have left Bill Belichick, they've all flailed, right? I mean, I guess there are a few exceptions, but all these guys who have gotten jobs.
Bill O'Brien, fired. Matt Patricia will be fired at the end of the year.
Romer Crennel before. Charlie Weiss. There are a lot of these guys. You know what? They were successful when they had Bill Belichick as the head coach and Tom Brady as the quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I think Flores, who is the head coach in Miami right now, I think he was under Bill Belichick.
That's correct.
I mean, there are guys who have done well. Joe Judge, I think, who's with, I mean, I can't really praise Joe Judge that much for
Vrabel,
a three-win team.
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys who have been successful, but there have been a lot of duds. And Matt Patricia is another dud.
I mean, Matt Patricia's 13-29. There's no way he survives that. Unsurvivable, especially when it wasn't good enough for Jim Caldwell, who was 36-28, and somehow made the playoffs twice with the Lions. And was showing the door.
Yeah, Caldwell got hosed in retrospect.
Yeah, certainly by comparison. So by Monday, I won't really care about it, but it's fresh on my brain. So I just had to come in and, again, take a quick victory lap.
Now, Valdez did send me his fatty earlier. I still haven't posted them. I'll post the fatties. Follow us on Twitter, @JunksRadio. I'll put our fatties. I'm waiting for Drab. I sent him a text. So if I can get Drab's picks, then we'll have all four of us. We already got Jason's loser, and I think EB hit his tease
okay.
on Wednesday.
He's running. EB's running away with it, isn't he? The wheels came off for me. I'm dead. I'm just flailing over here. I mean, I can't hit a teaser. I can't hit an over. It's just a mess over here.
I mean, I think EB is running away with it. There's still some time. Like, I'm hovering right around 500, but I need him to go on a losing streak.
Yeah, time's running out, man.
While I go on a winning streak.
I mean, there aren't that many weeks left.
But anyway, Valdez sent his fatty, but he also said, ask Cakes
okay.
if he still would prefer Washington to lose than the win.
Okay, so I see what he's doing here. He's trying to train the guns off of him for his bad Matt Patricia take and point them on me for saying that Washington should just try to get a better draft pick. Look, we've said this for many years, not just specific to this year. Winning is always greater than losing.
Okay, but
winning always trumps losing.
Just to be fair, he sent that text at 6:42 this morning.
Okay.
He said, didn't know if you were going to be doing fatties. Is Cakes bitter? Washington football team hurt their draft position.
Why would I be bitter that Washington won? And my guy, Antonio Gibson, made not one, not two, three end zone trips. Not bitter whatsoever. Very happy. In a good mood.
It's good for business. I always tell
people.
Great
for business.
People have been, we've said this many times, but people often say, you guys just love to rip on the Redskins, now the Washington football team. You guys live for them struggling.
Right.
I said, no, we don't. The fact is they've been mediocre, if not terrible, for the bulk of our radio career.
Do you understand?
If Washington team is good, more people are interested. So, of course, we root for that. Deep down, it's better for business. It's better for the bottom line.
If Washington were good, I would have a beach house somewhere. Or I would have a fancy boat if they were better over the last 20 years, which they haven't been. I literally would have a silly 30-foot fishing boat that I would probably barely use,
but I would have it because
right,
they
before,
would help me cash bonus checks.
Right, before 8 o'clock, when it became a guest-a-palooza, and we still have two guests to come on
yes.
the show, the phone lines were locked and loaded. On a day when nobody's driving because they're not working, Cakes.
They're not working. They're not going to the mall for Black Friday. That's finished. Nobody's out buying $300 70-inch TVs. That's finished. Nobody's out. Nobody's doing
finished?
Anything.
I thought your wife was like a big Black Friday person.
She generally is and has been, but not, I mean, not during a pandemic. It's not during COVID. I mean, you have to be a real degenerate to go out to a mall at like 5 in the morning during COVID. Yeah. Can't do it now.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 as we talk about Washington football teams win. We, of course, are not diehard Washington fans, admittedly. I grew up liking the Colts because when my dad came to this country, he lived in Baltimore for many years, and I was raised on liking the Baltimore teams. And I didn't transfer over to the Ravens for some odd reason. I stuck with the
Colts. Valdez wants you on his team.
I'm not super passionate, admittedly. I was during the Peyton Manning years.
Yeah, you don't really have a thing for Phil Rivers yet.
I don't have anything for Phil Rivers. Nothing whatsoever.
But not a big Jonathan Taylor guy and Nyheim Hines guy.
Right. I think when push comes to shove, both of us root for Washington to win. Because the alternative for us, and this is a business side perspective, is, let's say they lose yesterday's game. All right, for a show, we rip into the team. We rip into Ron Rivera. They're terrible. They suck. They're not getting any better. That would be the storyline, right? Maybe that lasts into next week.
I'll be honest. Radio insider, at the beginning of the game, I was just dreading today's show because I was like, they're gonna lose.
Right.
It's gonna be a bloodbath. Nobody's going to want to call. Nobody will be interested.
Exactly.
Interest will wane. But then I was like, they might pull this thing off. They might win this one.
Right.
Might get a little bit sized.
But you're getting at where I was going.
Yeah.
Apathy sets in.
Yes.
People don't care. And
don't
people
care.
Not caring, not good for our business. Not good for us getting bonuses.
Dreadful for our business. It's actually the worst thing for our business.
By the way, what is the Auville family doing about the Christmas tree? Does it come up now? Is it already up? Do you wait like another week or two? Because I did this on Wednesday. So
yeah.
We have a tight space. We don't have a big space.
Right. You have a skinny townhome.
Skinny townhome.
Yeah.
So I have to move a china cabinet. And it's
China.
Heavy as hell. Right?
Oh, of course it is.
So I slide it down. We have hardwood floors. I can slide it, but it takes a while.
Right.
I think I wrenched my back doing it.
Yeah.
But I was able to move it over into the corner. So now I have the space for the Christmas tree.
Right.
But I just didn't get around to doing it before
I understand.
Thanksgiving.
I hear you.
And it looks kind of hurting to have like kind of this blank space where usually there's a china cabinet.
Right.
And that's where the Christmas tree is going. So I could do it today. But I don't know if I really feel like it.
It's
you
funny.
Know what I mean? Like it's
yeah,
kind
I
of
hear
a pain
you.
In the ass.
I understand.
And it's not December yet. Like,
no.
See, I grew up in a family. We didn't go all out on Christmas and put like a million lights outside the house and do this whole thing starting on Thanksgiving. We generally were get a real tree, a silly Fraser fir.
Right.
Usually, I would say about December 5th.
Okay. That sounds about right.
Maybe about 3 weeks before Christmas. So it still feels uber early to me. What do you guys do?
I'll probably do it next weekend. It's funny you bring up you had to move your china cabinet because when we were having Thanksgiving yesterday in the dining room where we never eat.
Right.
Never. We never eat there. But we did yesterday. And my youngest son, he looks at the china cabinet. He goes, why do we have that? I was like, for the china.
Right.
And he goes, well, I'm never going to have one of those. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Why would you buy a china cabinet? But anyway, I'm probably like you. Wait till December. I don't need to have my tree up in November. Probably, maybe this weekend, but most likely next weekend.
No, I think I will do it this weekend because now we have this empty space.
Right.
And
you have to fill it.
Stare at me, yeah. And it's a fakie, so I can at least put it on the stand and put it up. I don't know if I'll put the million ornaments on it.
Right.
With my wife and my little one. By the way, speaking of china, yeah, I kind of looked at my wife like an alien too because she took out our china for Thanksgiving dinner for three. It was only me, her, and Isabella. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then this is the dagger, because I'm so unfamiliar with China. So she cooked everything.
Okay. Right?
Yep. I contributed zero.
Did nothing.
Okay. So she cooks everything. It's a great meal. Mm-hmm. So the least I can do is put away the dishes.
Sure.
But that consists of maybe washing them down, a little pre-wash, and then putting them in the dishwasher.
Well, not China.
And then she told me you can't put the China in there. I was like, no, what?
That's the good stuff. You got to wash up my hand. Got to wash up my hand, Ricky.
We should have done paper plates, cakes.
Nice paper. Get the good ones, though, like Chinette, like the expensive ones. And I'm with you on that. Less
paper
dishwashing.
Would have been less work.
It's the best.
Just throw them away.
Yeah.
No China. Cleaning. It's the best. All right, coming up next, we got Jason Lockenfour from CBSSportsRadio.com, NFL Insider, his take on the Washington football win, and we'll go around the league with Jason Lockenfour next here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.